First up, I want to ask you this question. Is Australia a bad friend? You know, the kind of friend who makes decisions that affect you, but just don't check with you whether or not it's okay. The kind of friend who cozies up with neighbours and powerful forces that you're not really comfortable with, that make things a bit awkward for you. Is Australia basically, you know, a frenemy? The kind of friend who treats you nicely when you're together, but then undermines you when you're not around. Well, if you're in Indonesia, or if you are Indonesia, you might be thinking, yes. I'm basing this on comments that were made by the Indonesian Trade Minister, Gita Wirjoan, who has come out swinging, accusing the Australian government of failing to consult with Indonesia on legislation that greatly affects them. Of course, you'll remember the live export ban last year, but there are other issues too. Most recently, they've focused on legislation that's currently working its way through Parliament via a committee that would ban illegal logging. Now, nothing wrong with the idea, you might say, but the problem is it imposes all sorts of costs and obligations, costly obligations, on Indonesian exporters. And Indonesia says it simply wasn't even consulted about this. In fact, they're so miffed, they say they have no alternative but to drag us before the World Trade Organization. So, live exports, illegal logging, Australians going to Indonesian prisons, and suddenly we jump up and down and create a lot of noise and heat about that. We've now got American troops being stationed in Darwin, potentially. We've agreed to that. Is there a pattern here? What do you think? 0418 226 576. Are we getting the relationship with Indonesia wrong? Or should Indonesia just accept that actually the things that we're trying to do here are perfectly legitimate and in our national interest, and that's just the way that it works? Interested in your thoughts. 0418 226 576 for a text message at RN Drive on Twitter and the RN Drive page on Facebook. Dr. Craig Emerson is Australia's Minister for Trade and Competitiveness, and he's also the Acting Minister for Foreign Affairs, although I'm not sure for how much longer. And he joins us now on RN Drive. Craig Emerson, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure, Waleed.
This seems to me about as strong as language really ever gets between two friendly nations. And I'm just thinking, really, we've got no choice but to read into this, that the relationship between Australia and Indonesia, our nearest neighbour and a very significant relationship for us, is in a pretty significant state of disrepair.
I couldn't disagree more profoundly with that. The relationship is strong and warm. There are friendships amongst the relevant ministers. Gita Wirjoan, whose comments are covered in your introduction, as a friend of mine. I'm going to Indonesia at the end of this month at the invitation of the business community and Gita, taking a high-level delegation. Gita and I work together in the World Trade Organization and in regional forums. And the quotes that are attributed to Gita Wirjoan were not spoken by him. The impression in that newspaper article to which you refer is that Gita had a discussion with the journalist. That is not true. No such discussion was held, and in fact the journalist did not contact, to the best of Gita's knowledge, the ministry or the minister to get those comments. They were in fact reflected in a letter that Gita sent to the Senate, where there is an inquiry into the logging legislation, and I'm happy to elaborate on that.
Okay, sure. And the message that comes through, and I'm assuming then that submission is consistent with what's been reported from what you've said, the message that's coming through from Indonesia is that they're saying in no uncertain terms that your government simply didn't consult them about the illegal logging bill. Now, this is a bill that threatens Indonesia's forestry export sector. Why wouldn't you consult them about that?
Well, there was, in fact, consultation involving the Agriculture Minister, Joseph Ludwig, with his counterpart, and the legislation itself, which has been developed, does not of itself implement any actions. What would implement actions is the regulations associated with that legislation, and on those regulations we have very strongly and clearly invited Indonesia and Malaysia and other countries to consult closely with us on those. The legislation of itself cannot do anything, the regulations do.
But what level of consultation have you had with Indonesia about the regulations?
Well, they're not drawn up yet, so the consultation hasn't occurred ahead of draft regulations. When that stage is reached where we have draft regulations, of course, and we'll consult, and that's what we're indicating to both Indonesia and Malaysia and to any other country that is interested in this. We will, through this process, fully comply with our obligations under the World Trade Organization rules, the commitment to implement such legislation on illegal logging was an election commitment. We're implementing that, but we'll do so in close consultation with Indonesia, Malaysia and other countries of the region.
Did you talk to the Indonesians before you made that election commitment?
Well, I doubt that we did, but honestly, we are a sovereign nation and I don't think the Indonesians would expect us to talk to them about preparing or having an election commitment against illegal logging. The Indonesian government is against illegal logging. The Indonesian government would not have said to us that it supports illegal logging and therefore it is opposed to any such election commitment. We have been working with Indonesia on the issue of illegal logging. They don't like it, we don't like it, and we'll work collaboratively with them.
But they're expressing concern that the obligations that are required here, for instance, to keep a log and communicate the makeup of the timber that's being exported, for example, is a huge cost burden that might really harm their industry. So clearly they wanted to have a conversation about this. The appropriate time for that would have been at the time you were developing the policy, that is before you announced it, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm sorry. Walid, you can have that opinion. I don't think that it is right that a government of any country needs to and has an obligation to consult another government before making an election commitment on an issue such as illegal logging.
Well, it depends on how strong you want the relationship to be. Hold on, could I finish?
The obligation does arise in consulting on the legislation and on the regulations, and we're doing that. So, look, I accept that you've got a point of view that whenever we make an election commitment, we should consult our governments around the world. You're entitled to that view. We don't have that view. What really matters in terms of any burden, if you like, administrative burden, that will be discussed through the processes that I've described to you and most particularly through the regulations.
I should point out, it's not my view. It's a question that I'm asking, and I'm asking it simply because Indonesia seemed to be upset about it. Now, if you're saying that the comments attributed to them are inaccurate, then that's fine.
What I've said is that you may well see a statement to this effect. There was never an interview that took place with the Indonesian Trade Minister in relation to the issue reported in the Australian Financial Review. The Ministry of Trade has communicated with the Australian Ambassador in Jakarta in clarifying factual information that no such comment has ever taken place in the view of the Australian government in Canberra. So that's the statement that is likely to emerge. That is a statement that Gita Wirawan is planning to release.
I actually
think that he'd be a bit of an authority on what he did say or didn't say, and the fact that a journalist at the Financial Review sat at a desk and had a look at a submission that, or a letter to the Senate, an inquiry that was properly constituted and then created the impression that this was as a result of a conversation with Gita Wirawan has, I think, taken a bit of a license. But then again, that's up to the particular journalist to explain.
I think that's a fair comment. I look forward to seeing that statement. 19 minutes past the hour, you're on RN Drive. You're hearing there from Dr. Craig Emerson, who's Australia's Minister for Trade and Competitiveness and also the Acting Foreign Affairs Minister. I'm just looking at the list of things that, at least that article, and you've put it in context.
Sure.
The extent to which it's authoritative, but that article's gone through. And these are not new areas of contention in the Australia-Indonesia relationship. A lot of them seem like they can't really be undone. I mean, the idea of hosting US Marines in Darwin, for instance, you're probably not going to undo that.
Can I just say on that, I haven't seen any public statements by Indonesia objecting to that. I do recall from the article, in fact, the headline of the article talks about dysfunction. It's in inverted commas. That is, it's a quote. If you go through the article, you will find no one who has used those words. At one point, it says, a source says. Well, that's fascinating. Who is the source? What sort of authority does that source have? So, I just think that the article had a preconceived conclusion, and then sitting at a desk the journalist went around trying to find evidence to meet that preconceived conclusion. That's easy to do sitting at a desk. We ministers meet regularly with our counterparts. There is a warm friendship. A country of 240 million people and growing at 5% per annum. It is true that our commercial relationship is underdone, and that's why both countries are committed to negotiating a trade deal, a comprehensive economic partnership agreement, not only to strengthen our trade ties, but to spread the benefits of trade through to the whole population of Indonesia.
Now, look, I think your critique of the article is fair enough, and happy for you to make it, and you've had that opportunity. But the issue that keeps coming up, and beyond the article, we know this is an issue that it bugs the Indonesians, of course, is that the severe travel alert for Indonesia that can make it difficult for Australians to engage with Indonesia, especially professionally. Are you planning to do anything to look at that, to revise that?
It's a fair question, Waleed, but I think your listeners would accept that these assessments are done objectively and not on the basis of political involvement. You know, we can't responsibly modify travel advice in order to, you know, again, ease any concerns that another country might have. That's not the responsible way of alerting our own citizens when they are travelling to another country.
I wish it were otherwise.
I'd love it that right around the world that we didn't have an obligation to say that, you know, caution should be exercised at a particular time in a particular location.
Sure,
but we have a responsibility.
You can't deny the perception, though, because, I mean, take for example the case of travel warnings to the UK. Now, no matter what warnings emerge about terrorist activity in the United Kingdom, indeed, directly after the London bombings in the United Kingdom, the various statements that have come out from MI5, MI6, that's never going to budge. And we know that that's never going to budge. But in the case of Indonesia, and this certainly seems to be the way the Indonesians see it, it's all too easy to put on a travel warning like that. So that's an issue in the relationship.
Well, I've seen terrorist incidents in other countries, very wealthy countries, and I've seen travel advice suggesting that Australians not travel at least to those cities or to that particular city. Look, as I say, we'd rather it not the case, but we do have an obligation. We don't do it out of any sense of satisfaction or joy. We want Australians to travel to Indonesia. We want, you know, all Australians and all the people of the earth to be safe, and we have an obligation as a government to do our very best to ensure that. And we work very closely with the Indonesian authorities on, you know, anti-terrorism and all of that. We don't do it out of any sense of joy or fun.
Just finally, do you accept the idea that's conveyed in that article and a lot of commentary around it by people who watch the Australia-Indonesia relationship, that it's bogged down really by both sides on negative stereotypes Indonesians have of Australians and Australians have of Indonesians?
No, I don't, again. And I'm not just trying to be contrary. We could rename your program The Contrarians or something. I'm not trying to be contrary.
No, I'm just asking for your views.
Yeah, no, and I think, again, it's a fair question, Waleed. I just don't get this sense of, you know, friction between Australia and Indonesia, between the people of Indonesia and the people of Australia. Many Australians to travel to Indonesia, many Indonesians, including some at the highest levels of the Indonesian government, have studied in Australia. When I was at the ANU, the Vice President of Indonesia was studying there, the former Trade Minister and now Tourism and Knowledge Economy Minister studied in Australia. I think the President's children or one child has studied in Western Australia.
Sure.
It is a warm, friendly relationship. Will there be issues from time to time? Of course there will, but name one country with which no issues ever arise. This is a great relationship and it's going to get even warmer and even friendlier as the years go by.
Well, there's a lot more we could explore and I intend to watch this space. We'll see what the submissions contain and what the public statements that emerge over the next few days say. But Dr. Emerson, I'm appreciative of your time this
evening. Thanks, Waleed. I enjoyed the discussion.
Good. It's Dr. Craig Emerson, Australia's Minister for Trade and Competitiveness and the Acting Minister for Foreign Affairs. Of course, the new Minister for Foreign Affairs will become that very soon. I think you might know who he is. Your text messages are coming in. Denise from Chelsea says, ho, ho, ho. I'm not sure if that's a Christmas reference or not. Since when has Indonesia ever consulted with Australia before they make decisions that affect their national interest? And on the flip side, Lynn Bender on Twitter tells us that she finds Craig Emerson on how to win friends and influence people not very convincing, re-Indonesia. Your thoughts, 0418 226 576, to send us a text message or at RN Drive on Twitter, the RN Drive page on Facebook. Nearly 26 minutes past the hour.